Blog Talk Radio.
All things well. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us on Blog Talk Radio. You have joined the midweek prayer and teaching gathering of Laborers for Christ Word Life Center. We are blessed to be a ministry on the move with the move of God. We are committed to being vessels which our sovereign Lord uses to bring physical, spiritual restoration, inner healing, deliverance, and complete wholeness to the total person. God has given us a vision for spiritual breakthroughs, healing, and relational restoration, and we have been able to accomplish this mandate from the Lord through the power of our fellowship, our worship, and our love for God. And we appreciate you joining in as the midweek gathering is bringing us to deeper levels of ministry and serving and building up of our most holy faith. We have our ambassadorial prophet on the line to bring us some further teaching that will help us to be well supplied spiritually, and that our spirits will be nurtured for nourishment for our mind, our body, and our soul, and they will educate us with the necessary tools we will need for outreach. We appreciate your presence, and we encourage your participation. So at this time, we will turn the remainder of our gathering time over into the hands of our ambassadorial prophet, Michael Henderson.
Amen. Thank you, Overseer, and good evening, Blog Talk family. We are excited that you are joining us for our February Kingdom Development, Biblical Training, and Practical Growth. We are excited about this month and what we are doing together, myself and the apostle. So for the month of February, we will continue to excavate the Word of God and look at biblical principles for kingdom development. And we will also have practical trainings for personal and public growth. We started this journey and conversation last year with our apostle with the teaching of the new wineskins, and we would like to continue and grow with the conversation by looking at biblical principles, have practical trainings, implementing new policies, and creating a Laborers for Christ culture. Your participation is very important to the development of the teachings and trainings. The expectation is for you to participate, engage, ask questions, and implement the policies and procedures that you will hear throughout the month through the teachings and the trainings. So while we are preparing to read a scripture and pray, we encourage you to grab your Bible, grab a pen, grab a journal, and let's begin to scribe what we are hearing the Lord say as we share and continue to maturate as a community and believing God for new momentum, fresh manifestation, and unrevealed miracles and mantles to be released over our lives individually and as a community. Amen. I want to read a prayer declaration that I wrote out that I decree and declare in my prayer time for Laborers for Christ. And it's going to be the segue into which we began to talk about these biblical principles, and we're going to do some practical training on the phone today. We're going to have Apostle just begin to start a conversation about us implementing new policy. And from these trainings, we want to be able to create this Labors for Christ culture so that you can identify yourselves with the move of God that is happening in Labors for Christ. So this is one of my declarations and my own prayer time that I pray over Labors for Christ, and it goes like this. Father, I declare that you have called Labors for Christ to settle in the land that you have promised. You have declared according to Deuteronomy 1 and 8, look, I am giving you all this land to you. Go in and occupy it, for it is the land sworn to give to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to all their descendants. So today we press in and we drive out all the giants who have settled in our land and declare they are evicted from our promised land, and we will no longer sit on the borders of our promise, but we will move into prophetic possession and possess our land in Jesus' name. Amen. And then we also decree and declare when we pray over Labors for Christ, we decree one word. We simply declare open. And the O stands for occupy, which you can find in Deuteronomy 1 and 8. P stands for possess, which we declare out of Deuteronomy 33 and 53. E stands for enter, as we declared it out of Hebrews 4 and 10. And N stands for now out of Isaiah 43 and 19. And so we do make those confessions. We do believe and decree and declare that the Lord has given LFC a land to settle in, a land that has been promised to us. And we will no longer sit on the sidelines of that land. We will no longer sit on the borders of that promise, but we will move in prophetic possession, and we will own and occupy. We will occupy, possess, enter now into our land. Amen. Amen. So we want to begin to do a practical training today and just begin to develop this art of giving. Two Sundays before, just doing an apostolic and prophetic moment, the Lord began to release unto our apostle to give a double seed. And so if you were in service on Sunday, we began to talk about our 2020 seed scriptures. And so what we did was we released four kinds of seeds. And I don't know if you had a chance to notice it. We, like we said, the information will be dispersed to you. But each scripture is from the 20th chapter and the 20th verse. So our first seed was the reverence seed, and it's from Exodus 20:20. And it says, Moses spoke to the people, don't be afraid. God has come to test you and instill a deep and reverent awe within you so that you won't sin. That's Exodus 20:20 out of the Message version. Then our next seed was the respect seed. It's from Ezekiel 20:20 out of the Amplified. Sanctify my Sabbath and keep them holy, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know without any doubt I am the Lord your God. Ezekiel 20:20. Our next seed was the reward seed from 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And they said, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye habitations of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. And that's our reward seed. And then our last seed, our fourth seed, let me put it that way, was Joshua 20:20 out of the Voice version. And it reads, And as he was speaking, he revealed the wounds in his hands and side. The disciples began to celebrate as it sank in that they were really seeing the Lord. And that's your Revelation seed, John 20:20. So once again, our seeds our double seed as it relates to the year of 2020 is the reverence seed, the respect seed, the reward seed, and the revelation seed. And I want us to address that from this perspective. As we begin to talk about these biblical principles and as we begin to have our practical training, as we begin to implement new policies and create a Labor for Christ culture, there are some things that we want you to understand. Number one, Labor for Christ believes in the power of giving. We are a church. We are a kingdom. We are a church in the kingdom that believes in giving. And when we give, we want to begin to have you understand what is our confession of giving, what is our culture of giving, and what is our consecration of giving. Consecration simply means a declaration, and we believe in the power of giving. We believe in Malachi 3:10 that simply tells us, bring ye all your tithes and storehouses to the offering. We believe in Deuteronomy 1:11 that says, and may the Lord, the God of your ancestors, multiply you 1,000 times more and bless you as you have promised. We believe in 2 Corinthians 9:8 that says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you have all sufficiency in all things, that you may abound to every good work. Now, that is one of our confessions, but we believe in that entire 2 Corinthians 9:6-10. And the tire says, but this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he that spareth the broad, he hath given to the poor, his righteous remain forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. So we believe in the power of giving. So what does giving look like for us? What kind of giving does Labor for Christ do? So get a pen and let's write these down, okay? Let's get a pen and let's start writing this down, because we are a leadership church. And if you are ever called to pray on the offering, you are ever called to be a part of the ministry, be a part of the time of the ministry of giving, there are some practical things that we want our leaders to know. There are some biblical principles that we want to be written in your heart, so that you know how we function. And then later, Pastor is going to come and just begin to talk about the implementation of a policy. And we're going to get into the practical conversation about why it's important to fill out an envelope. Is this Apostle Chardonnay just fussing at us? But I really want her to share the heart of why that's important. Why us not filling out an envelope as a community, and when the administrative and finance team has to get together and take 2 days to get financials ready for a possession of the land that we're promising, and now it took 2 days, and now it's Monday, and they're off, and we are not able to occupy and possess because we've not been a good steward, or just lazy like me. And we're going to have that conversation about things like that. Okay, we're going to have conversation about things like that. And then we're going to want to figure out how we can then begin to implement those things and really move forward. So write these scriptures down. Let's write down Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10. Let's write down Deuteronomy 1:11. Deuteronomy 1:11. Malachi 3:10. Deuteronomy 1:11. Let's write down 2 Corinthians. Let's remember 9 and 8 specifically. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Let's remember that, and then let's write down 2 Corinthians 9:6-10. Okay, so I'm gonna give you a few minutes to think about that, and just in case someone needs me to repeat it, you can now say, "Hey, I need you to repeat that."
Repeat, please.
Okay. All right. You ready? All right. Let's write down Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10. That's Malachi 3:10. Let's write down Deuteronomy 1:11. Deuteronomy 1:11. Again, that's Deuteronomy 1:11. Let's write down 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Now, in parenthesis somewhere next to you, the same passage of scripture, same location, but write down 2 Corinthians 9:6-10. So 6 through 10 is 6 to 10. 6 through 10 is the totality of that. But I want you to remember 9 and 8, and I'll tell you why that's important. Okay? 9 and 8, and then let's write down Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38. Again, that is Luke 6:38. And then write down this scripture as well. Philippians 4:15-20. Philippians 4:15-20. Again, that is Philippians 4:15-20. All right. So now I need a volunteer besides Pastor Rogers. Is she on the phone? Love you, Pastor, because I know she would. I need a volunteer to read back to me all the scriptures I just gave.
I will.
State your name. Let me know who you is. I know is ain't a good word.
Okay, my name is Minister Pat. Can you hear me?
Yep. Thank you, Minister Pat.
Okay. Your scriptures were Malachi 3:10, Deuteronomy 1:11, 2 Corinthians 9:8, 2 Corinthians 9:6-10, Luke 6:38, and Philippians 4:15-20.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, ding, ding. You get the gold star, Pastor Minister Pat. Thank you. And we missed you Sunday.
Oh, I miss you guys.
Very good. Very good. We missed you Sunday. Okay. So we look, why is those scriptures important? The Bible talks a whole lot about giving, but those particular passages of scripture has a labor for Christ culture, what I would consider the labor for Christ culture. So number one, Deuteronomy 1:11. Whenever it comes to our giving, to our tithe, actually let me back up. Write this down too, okay? So when it comes to giving, this is giving language that you would hear at Labors for Christ. So you want to write these things down as well, okay? So giving language in Labors for Christ is number one, tithe. Okay. Offering. First fruit. Seed sowing. Kingdom mandate offerings. And sacrificial offerings. So I'm going to repeat. So, at Ladies of Christ, you may hear these kind of languages when it comes to giving. You may hear tithe. You may hear offering. You may hear first fruit offering, first fruits. You may hear seed sowing. You may hear a kingdom mandate offering. And you may hear a sacrificial offering. All right. So I need another volunteer. Pastor Rogers, if you're on, you can volunteer this time.
All right, you said.
Oh, wow.
Huh?
Offering.
Go ahead.
Okay.
First
so what were the six offerings that I said you may hear among Ladies of Christ? What are those six offerings?
That's what I was giving. Oh, wait a minute. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Tithe, offering, first fruit, seed sowing, kingdom mandate, and sacrificial.
Ding, 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 ding. You get the gold star. Thank you, my pastor. I appreciate you, okay? And we're going to talk about that, well, you know, because those are things that you may hear. We will follow up. You know, if there are questions about that, we're going to go through it really quick. But, you know, we want to talk about that so that, first of all, we are a giving church. We are believing God for 100% tithers, 100% offerings, 100% of individual giving first fruit, 100% of seed sowing, 100% of kingdom mandate offerings, 100% of sacrificial offerings. And that is our culture. Overseers on the phone, and we can kind of talk about this. Remember, this is engaging, so I want you guys to have conversation. The expectation over this month is for you to participate, engage, ask questions, and then we want to implement the policies and the procedures that you will hear throughout the month. So we are a giving church. You've probably been in Ladies of Christ, been around, you never saw us sell a chicken dinner, you may not probably saw us sell any of those things. We are not against them. It is just not the culture of our church. And this is when you start having questions. You may want to ask why. You may want to ask, you know, and that's fine. It could be because, you know, the first fruit of it was it's not something we've done, but maybe there is a group who is coming that is innovative, that has that culture, can have that implementation. But we are a giving church, and we believe in those scriptures that we just talked about. We believe Deuteronomy 1:11 that God is going to multiply our seed that we sow 1,000 times more. We believe that all grace would abound towards us. We will have all sufficiency. All sufficiency means lack nothing in all things at all times. When the time comes, because we believe 2 Corinthians 9:8, we have that expectation that God is going to bring it up out of the ground, and we are going to possess, and it is going to abound towards us. We believe in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given back unto you in a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and shall men give into your bosom. That word bosom is translated vision. It's translated occupation. It is translated vision. It is translated occupation, and it also can be translated capacity. So we believe because we give, God's going to cause men to give into our vision. He's going to cause men to give into our capacity. He's going to cause men to give into our occupation. And we've seen the blessing of it. We've seen the power of it. So when it comes to a practical training, and because we are a leadership church. I'm sorry, did anyone have a question? Okay, good. So when it comes to leadership, if anyone on the leadership team at any time is called to be a part of the ministry of giving, which would consist of a tithe and an offering, right? If you are to do what we call to pray over the offering or make a declaration over the offering, there are some things that you should know. Number one, we confess, so we have a confession, right? We confess Deuteronomy 1 and 11, and we also confess 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. That is our confession. So the Bible talks about that there comes a harvest. There's a 30, there's a 60, and there's a 100-fold, right? I'm sure we all heard that scripture. Now, we believe in 30, we believe in 60, we believe in 100, but we, our apostle has given us the mandate to confess 1,000 times. So we confess 1,000 times more. So if you are ever called to pray over the offering, you know, and I know some people don't feel eloquent, you know, it don't rumble how prophets say it. Sometimes you're not sure what do you say, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. I don't know what to say. How do I sound over the mic? I don't like how I sound over the mic. All of those things. I think I'm probably the only person in our church who uses the mic because other people don't like how they sound, you know. And some of that is imitation. Our apostle don't use the mic, so the next people don't either. Now I'm probably the only one who's screaming the mic, right? We know that. But so say you're called to give the offer. You're called to pray over the offer. I don't know what to say. Well, I'm going to tell you what you can say. You never go wrong confessing Deuteronomy 1 and 11. You simply, you may not know it. And I know it by heart because I rattle it off. But if you don't know it, Father, I confess Deuteronomy 1 and 11 over our offering. And it simply says this, and the Lord your God will bless you 1,000 times more if you promise. Okay? We don't ever, and not in a bad way, we don't ever want you to say 30, 60, or 100. Okay? That's Bible, that's biblical, but our culture and our confession is what? 1,000 times more. Anyone who gives to our offering, we are believing God that they will get 1,000-fold return on the seed that they have sown in the ground. That is our prayer. That is the prayer of the financial team when they are when they are putting in your offering. That is the prayer over the deacons when they are collecting your offering. We are believing God for 1,000 times more. So what else can you say? You can say 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. Now, I know it by heart because I'm up there saying it all the time. You can simply say, God, I thank you that all grace is going to bound towards these givers, that they will have all sufficiency in all things at all times, that they may abound towards every good work. That is our confession. We believe that when you sow, when you release seed in our house, God's going to make all grace about you. God will create a position for you. God will create a job. God will create a contract. Because when you give to labors for Christ, grace has to bound towards you. All sufficiency at the time you need it. The moment you walk in to get the loan, you could have checked your credit score last week and it says 720, but the time at the loan is going to say 750 because we believe 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, God is going to make grace bound to you at the time that you need it. That is our confession. And we believe Luke 6 and 38. We believe when you bring your tithe, when you bring your offering to the storehouse, what's going to happen is, number one, God's going to open up one window from heaven, and you're going to have more blessings than you can imagine. But also, when you give, it's going to come back to you pressed down, packed, shaken together, running over. Men are going to want to fund your vision. People want to say, let me pay for your kids' tuition. Let me cover your gas. Let me fly you out, because we believe with the same measure that you give, God's going to give that measure back to you. So if you are ever in charge, ever asked to be a part of the ministry of giving, conduct, offering in labors of Christ, you have to pray over it, and you say, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. I want us as a community, as a culture, to remember some of the foundational things. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given back to you. Deuteronomy 1:11, 1,000 times more, as God has promised you. And 2 Corinthians 9:8, all grace would abound towards you. Now, you may not know how, you may not can memorize it. I encourage you to, because number one, you know we are a leadership church. Number two, we are on-demand church. You don't know from Sunday to Sunday who, what, when, where, or why. And so I would encourage you as a leadership to memorize it. You know, let's go back old school. I don't know if you all grew up in church. We had to remember a verse a week and things like that. Connie, my mama made me remember so many rounds of verses. So those things always work. And then they get in your heart, they get in your spirit. Now, also, now a lot of times, I know people see me, you know, a lot of times it may look like I'm on my phone, but everything I can think of is on this phone. So at any moment, I know I can go right back to it and make a reference to it, because I know who I worship with. My apostle may tell me that morning I have to speak, pray, whatever. I can have it. I write my prayers out. I write them down sometimes. I write them out and try to memorize them, you know, just little practical things like that. So when we talk about this biblical principle, we are talking about these are things that were implemented in Scripture that we, as a body of Christ, we believe. And why is that important? Because God has called us, according to Deuteronomy 1:8, he has given us a land that we must go in and occupy. And I wanted us to look at this because all last year, you as a body has done phenomenal. Whether you realize it or not, you did. Some of you were faithful in your tithing. You are faithful in your offering. Now, we understand that it's tithe and offering. You don't lump your tithe in your offering. Your tithe is 10% of your income. There's a debate whether it's gross or net. You be led by the Holy Spirit. That's your tithe and your offering. Those are Malachi 3:10, the mandate, the simple mandate. Then for those of you all who say we are New Testament, okay, New Testament believers, New Testament said give it all, bring that whole check. Malachi sounds a lot better, don't it? Amen. So we know that we want to give that base of that tithe and offering. You've done that. We believe in first fruit. There are a group of individuals, and I'm going to have these scriptures for you on next week. These are a group of individuals who believe in first fruit offering. First fruit is your yearly sum. What's an example of a first fruit? It can go in two ways. You remember Mary, who gave a year's earning, that oil. That oil was worth a year's earning, her entire year's worth of earning, that she has saved up for. Now, that can be seen in two ways. It could be seen as a first fruit because she gave it, and it can also be seen as a sacrificial offering. But it more leans towards a first fruit offering. She took that year's earning and she put it at the Lord's feet. And then also a sacrificial offering. Remember the widow's mite? The widow? The widow said, I'm about to make my bread, eat this cake, and we about to die. And the prophet said, give me that cake. And she did it. That is your sacrificial offering. What is sowing seed? We believe in seed time and harvest. The Bible said you will always have seed time and harvest. And so we looked at that in 2 Corinthians 9, around the 7. The Lord would give seed to the sower. Now, your seed is not your offering. We name our seed. That is another culture around labels of Christ. We name our seed. And so you give your tithe, your offering, you sow your seed because you are believing God for harvest. We don't eat our seed. We sow our seed, and we lead with our seed. Remember we said that all last year. We were sowing seed in 2019 for what we wanted to see in 2020. We wasn't waiting to 2020 to plant our seed. We were giving our seed time to get in the ground and multiply. And so many of us, we sow seed. I'm going to give this $10. I'm believing God for these 10 mandates, these kind of healings, and then we're going forth. And then our kingdom mandate offering or kingdom mandate seed, that is what we're doing right now. That's our 2020. Apostle got a revelation. The Lord told her. We sowing in doubles. We explained that. We're not just giving $20. We maybe give $22.22. We may give $20.20. We may just do 2020. But we are doing it in double. That is a kingdom mandate offering or seed, and we've named those. And those was the four that I started with. Okay? So I've done a lot of talking, and I need one more volunteer.
I need another volunteer.
I have a volunteer?
Yes.
Okay, tell me who I'm talking to.
This is Pastor T.
Pastor T. Excellent. Thank you. Pastor T. I need you to, Pastor T, it is tithe and offering time. Based on what you have learned, I need you to pray over the offering. Let me hear you pray on the offering, Pastor T.
Bring ye all the tithes and ours to the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that there might be sufficiency in my house, and see that I not pour you out a blessing. God, I know the scripture. That you might not have enough to contain. Amen.
Okay.
Then you're offering into my house. Yes. So there might be food in my house. And see that I not pour you out a blessing that you might not have room enough to contain it.
All right, Pastor T. Okay. Now, somebody, I need another volunteer. I need one more person to pray over the offer. Let me hear you pray over the offer. Are you at Labor of Christ? It is time. Right. Prophet ain't there. Nobody's there. You need to pray on the offer. Let me hear you pray on the offer.
This Pastor Rogers. First of all,
okay.
Shall we all stand? We're going to stand, and we're going to confess Deuteronomy 1 and 11. If you have your Bibles, can you go there with me? And then it shall read, thus saith the Lord. And may the Lord, the God of your ancestor, multiply you 1,000 times more and bless you as he promised. And then we would go to 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. And then I would take them also to Luke 6:38 because I love it. And I would always pray for those that are unable to give and ask God to reveal to them the importance of giving. And I would say, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Rogers. Amen. All right, let me get one more volunteer. Let me hear you pray over this offering.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people.
Hello?
Hello? We're listening.
No. God, we pray you bless this offering. We pray you bless those who had to give. We thank you that you give seed to the sower, Father. We pray you bless it 1,000 times more. We decree, Father, in the name of Jesus, that it will return back, and we glorify you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, come on, give everybody a hand. Good job. This
amen.
Is our practical training. And it is. It is our culture. It is what we believe. I believe you believe it. I believe that those who are on this phone who are part of Laborers of Christ believe in Luke 6:38. They believe in a good measure, that God is going to give it pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and men will give into your bosom. I believe that you believe, Deuteronomy 1:11, that God has, many of you have seen the thousandfold multiplication, how God has multiplied your seed, and not just in your finances, but in protection, in your children's children, in your business, in your homes, in promotions that they said you couldn't and wasn't going to get, and you got them. You've seen God operate in 2 Corinthians 9:8. Now, we may say it in a fancy, in a different way, but you've seen how grace have abound towards you, how you have had all sufficiency, how you have experienced God taking your two fish, five loaves of bread and multiplying it. You how you fed a whole family off of spaghetti. One can. So you've seen those things. And so that is how we want to move forward. And that is how we want to believe. So we are moving into the possession of our own land, which is going to look a lot different. So, you know, we are now responsible as a body for God's grace to abound towards tissue and paper. You know, we are now responsible believing God for good measure, pressed down, shaken together. God's going to have somebody to, or God's going to strengthen us to shovel our own snow. So those are things that we want to begin to understand them and confess why we are saying them. So I'm going to ask Overseer to take a few minutes again, and we start talking about, you know, the importance of filling out an envelope. And before she comes, I want us to, you know, let's be transparent. I am someone who do not fill out an envelope. Let me tell you why. I hate my handwriting, and I told Paul the other day, I write in tongues. You're going to have to try to interpret it and figure it out. So I just rather not fill out an envelope. So let's have honest, open feedback. If you are someone like me who don't, let's hear why. Maybe you are somebody who do, like you do. Tell us why. Because maybe there's just a strategy I'm missing. Maybe if I am more diligent on Saturday night and fill that envelope off neatly, I'll have that done. So maybe you're somebody who you do it. You fill out your envelope. You make sure your tithe, your offering, your own. You come to church with it filled out beforehand. You grab one from last week. Share that so that maybe people on the phone like myself can maturate. We can grow and move forward. Anyone?
I fill it out because it's the mandate of the house. You know, and I
okay.
This is Overseer. And I understand some of the handicaps that we might have. But I say that use this as an opportunity to acknowledge other mandates of a house. Now, we have many examples, and I understand profit, and quite frankly, we don't want you to fill it out if you don't make it where we can read it. However, it is opportunity to link with a ministry partner. We had a whole season where some of the people actually went to their accountability partners on Sunday morning before church and said, would you fill this out for me? And it was done. Some of our visually impaired people did that. And there's no shame to it, especially if they know they're blessing you to be obedient. And so that's what a ministry partner is for. And I think that we need to take advantage of the different things that have been set up in Scripture that teach us how to be successful in being obedient. And I think a couple of things that you shared, Prophet, and I know that most things, if it is something you're concerned about, because I dare believe that on Saturday, maybe even Friday, you know what you're going to wear. And you make sure it's in the right, ironed and pressed and cleaned and whatever and coordinated so that you could get up and go and do your thing. And so there's the kind of things that in the old days, like with, you know, Pastor Diane know what I'm talking about, you cooked your dinner on Saturday. So that wasn't in the way on Sunday, and you didn't have to worry about church letting out because your food was already ready when they got home, they would eat. And so there's a lot of things in preparation that we can start doing that really brings God and our love and responsibility as Christians into other days of the week. Some people, when they get their check, they write it out. When they get their check. And so there's some things that we have been doing, but God is showing us there's a more excellent way. One of the things that you shared about the seed offering, and this is the heart of the apostle, that this year make your seed one of those five areas of art: respect, revelation, reverence, and reward. Make that the seed that you are planting, not for your temporal gain, but for your eternal gain, for your growth and development in the sanctuary as one. So it's one thing when you want this and you want that and I want this and I want the other, but if within the whole body we're all focused on five things, then that brings power to the plan. When you go out in the field and you're planting, the man in front of you ain't planting corn while you in the back plant wheat. You know, here's the wheat of the corn section, the barley section, the this section, and the that section. And so it's all the labor that goes into each one of those harvests. And so they become a corporate blessing for us. So as I plan for a reverence and you're planning for reward, then both of us will reap the benefit of reward and reverence. And so that teaches us and that brings us into a unity of the faith. And so there's so many things in this season that we want to do differently. So when they pray, they hello, yes?
No, I just said praise God.
Amen. So there was one thing that in the prayers you hear, and, you know, God knows I've heard it for 60 years, maybe 70 if I was really listening, but that the fact is, bless those that don't have it to give. No, we have a new declaration because the scripture said God will supply seed for the sower. So we're going to pray, God, give them seed so they may sow. And that way we're building up and looking for. We're not, you know, just they can't do no better, God just bless. No, he said he'll make all grace abound. So this is what our prayer confession has to be. So now we say, not, you know, bless those that don't have it to give. Lord, bless us to receive the seed that you have for us. Give us the revelation and the wisdom of how to use the seed so that it may be planted for your kingdom. And so that's a different kind of declaration that we're releasing in the atmosphere of labors for Christ. And so that's why this new Occupy and Possess and this culture, LFC culture, it looks a little different. Now, we're not saying don't bless the poor. God knows, yes, we want to be a blessing to the poor. And we're not eliminating them from the giving process. What we're doing is speaking in faith for them and standing in the gap. So there's a program that a system that we have that, you know, our young people, if they don't have it to give, it won't be said, bless those that don't have it to give. We're going to give them something to give. Now, we don't just give people, you know, you ain't got no money, give no money. That's according to what the Spirit says to you. But But can you see how that system of speaking those things which aren't as though they are and then putting action behind it, we have now 5 children that come to church with their own money. 5 children. At first we had 1. That was it. Now we have 5 that come with their own money. And I believe that's because we didn't say, they tell your mom to give you some money, da, da, da. No, no, come on back here. You don't have it. We want you to have seed, and we're investing in you this seed so that you can plant it for you and your family, actually. So I think it's when we develop this culture, this LFC culture. Now, I'm saying it's different from any other culture. No, but it is a different atmosphere that we are required for where God is taking us. And so he's leading us deep unto deep, but he's also leading us from truth to truth. So there are some things that we have to now start embracing as one. And one of those things is our offering. The main function in the New Testament of the offering was everybody brought everything to the storehouse. Then whoever needed something got it out the storehouse. So we know everybody ain't going to bring all their checks in, and, you know, we understand that. But we can definitely follow it to a point where we understand our giving is for the house. It's not for us necessarily the benefit, because the benefit for us comes from the promises that are attached to these giving scriptures. So we need our church and our leaders to look at these scriptures, and not just the one scripture, everything that's above it and below it and any reference to it, and pull out of that the name of God that's the power behind this. And is it a promise? Is it a, what is the other thing? You got a promise, you know, but you know you're required to do them. A law, you know, a precept, mandate, thank you. If it's a mandate, he's not asking you, he's telling you. You know, and so these are the things we need to understand so that then when we pray, we're praying the will of God in this house for this offering and its use and its the quality of it and the quantity of it. And so I believe that as we do this, we then understand what it means when it says God blesses a cheerful giver. And then remember, we have the sacrificial offering. So as the witness right, it's a penny, and everybody can find a penny. But if that's all you have and you give, you're blessed, and you're a part of it. And so even if you know you don't have no money, you're living on the street or whatever, you can, you know, beg till somebody put a coin in your cup. But get that one penny, you know, and dedicate it to the Lord. So I believe that's what he wants us to be more focused on, you know, what's in our heart and what our heart, how our heart wants to express itself through our giving. And so we want to understand that as we do this, because of where God is leading us and taking us as an example in the kingdom, an apostolic house is one that sets precedent and sets order and sets things in alignment to what heaven's agenda is for that season and that time. And so one of the things is we have to be able to render unto Caesar all that is Caesar. When Caesar has requirements, then we need to be in a place to obey them. And so in order to obey them, see, my people perish for lack of knowledge. If you don't know how to fill out an envelope, then, you know, then we're going to perish as an organization because it won't be acknowledged and acceptable in the world that this is going through. Not to, but through. And so as a result, we have to educate our people so that you know, this is no light thing. This is so the enemy on that mountain of economy knows that this money here came from, put your name there, on this date and this amount, and I am giving it because I believe in the power of the Lord God, and I want his program to grow and spread in his name. So think of that as your signing your name, you know, to your presentation to the Lord. So with that envelope, let him know. If he didn't know anything else, you know, the ministry gets envelopes like people, you know how you can sign your initials and make it fancy, but it's just your initials? What is that? You ain't a doctor. Okay. And it may be one thing, bless God, for the apostles. She knows your scribble. She knows your writing in tongues, okay? But you know who doesn't know it? The IRS. And you know what they will do with it? They'll call it fraudulent. So that's what that does. That puts us in a unfavorable light with the world because we can't follow the law, okay? And yet we want to listen to us tell them about God's law. So these are things, this is the mindset, this is the transformation of our mind that we're going to have to embrace in this season. They're habits and they're going to be hard to break, but they're not impossible. And when it is our heart's desire and we share that, you know, even in the prayer over the offering, make sure we have all, Lord, been faithful to what has been asked of us in the giving, in the presentation of the giving, and in the heart of the giving. That's what you pray over that. And then when I put my money in there, or God's money really is, when it's put in there, it's put in there reverently. It's put in there respectfully. It's putting in there, what's the name of ours? Revelation. This is a revelation knowledge I want us to have of what heaven is declaring. And so this is a very powerful time of the service, and it is also, we would think, a very necessary time of the service for the ongoing operational needs of the physical house of the Lord. And so as particularly because God has seen us faithful stewards, and therefore those who have been steward over a few things, he's given us more things. And the more you get, the more organized you must be in order to continue to grow. So we can't have three locations with people signing their initials in a circle, okay? That, what would that look like? And you think, well, that's what I do. Well, if you do it and 10 other people do it, then we only get 20 offering envelopes. So what does that say for half the offering? And so I think we have to have a mindset and an understanding of what happens after, you know, the praising, after the worship, you know, after the word, after the scriptures, you know, but with the actual resources of kingdom stuff. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the things that were brought to the temple, there were so many instructions, and they couldn't even wrap it in anything they wanted. Certain things had to be wrapped in something that was red. Some things could never be wrapped in stuff that's wool. So every presentation had instructions concerning it that was strictly enforced, because if you gave an offering that wasn't according to the instructions that God gave, it was a curse on you and your tent. And so we have to remember that these are the things now. Okay. These are the things now that we're being grown up into. And it's an exciting thing. And it's a powerful thing because it is revealing more of the mysteries of God to us in a way that you bring in your, I will say, your faithful. And then you start sharing more things with them and more things with them. And that's what he's doing with us. We allow him to use us to bring this vision to pass. And now it's not even the tip of the iceberg. It is not even the coal from the iceberg. We haven't seen anything yet. It's maybe the mist that comes from the tip of the iceberg, okay? So the rest is just, it is not, we can't even imagine what this is going to do. but we can be extremely spiritually edified when we are obedient to leadership. And that which we're asked to do is not a whim, but it is a regulation that we need to be, in, as Pastor's word is, compliant with, because that's how your organization gets respect from the outside, when they see you really are decent and in order. You know, everybody knows with their finances. The more decent that you are in order with your finance, the lower your finances charge. The quicker you can get a loan, you can buy a thing, and the less you have to pay for it, quite frankly. And so this is the place where God is bringing the church, so that we will be seen as a kingdom culture that's reflecting the perfection of our perfector. So that's my sharing.
Question?
And Apostle. Yes.
I have a question.
Question.
Well, for Overseer, two things. First, Overseer, what was the you said that an offering in an envelope with initials on it, the IRS doesn't recognize it, and what kind of offering is that? They consider it what?
Fraud.
Fraud.
Oh, fraud. I did not catch that.
Yeah. You know, because you can get an envelope with a scribble on it, too, and say $20 was it.
Wow.
Okay. So the follow-up to that is, where's the other side of what was in that envelope? Then the other side should be documentation where it was recorded, the totals add up to what went into the bank, and the totals add up to what you're giving at the end of the year, and that total adds up in the IRS with the totals that they receive off of our annual reports. All those things have to equal. Yes. Or are we laundering money? And we're in
Oh, wow.
That's a very real threat, laundering money.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, the second thing was when you said to do the study on the names of God that are represented in the scriptures that he gave, one thing that I saw there is how this is tying in with our Monday study. And also, also when we're writing or naming our seed, then we should also know the name of God that represents that which we named the seed. That way we'll know into which name of God we're sowing. And when you sow apple seeds, you get apples. When you sow apple seeds, you get apple trees. And then that way we'll know what harvest we're expecting. That was the other thing I heard.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. And also in that, when you know the name of God, then you come, and I mean know by that intimate know, then you understand the power in that name, and it is the power that fuels the promise and its fulfillment. So some promises we're just not sure about because we're not sure about the power in the name of God that's behind that. So he says, when God is able to make all grace abound, first of all, what God is that? That's the all-sufficient God. You know, that is the provider God. That's the sovereign God. That's the God, the cattle on a thousand hill God. So we have to know the kind of power behind that name, that attribute that is being presented in this promise. So everything he asks us to do, every promise he gives us, he backs it with the power of his name. And he makes sure we know what it is, because it'll say, and the Lord God Almighty said. So now, this is who talking now, okay? Or your sovereign Lord, or whatever name of God is placed in that scripture. And like we did on Monday, it may be two names, because it's two relationships that are involved in this. And if you don't understand both of them, you won't receive the fulfillment of that promise the way you expect?
This brings new revelation then, brings me into a new relationship with my tithes and offerings, and not just obedience, but also answering the covenant behind the sowing of whichever type of offering it is. So it brings me into a new relationship with it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. This is Deacon Lazarus. I just want to add to what Overseer was saying. When you mark E and your envelope, meaning electronic, you need a name to go with that E. So, say, for instance, Era Lazarus and say E electronic, you need to put your name. You know, and how much it is that you're giving us your tithes or offering. And that way, when apostle get the envelope, like Overseer was saying, if there's nothing in it and there's nobody's name on it except an E on the envelope, it doesn't really help. It's just like you're doing false offering, in my opinion.
Yes, exactly. Fraudulent offering.
Yes.
What it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, and I think that's a new thing for a lot of people, because a lot of people do electronic. And we have to learn this, what do they call it, the electronic atmosphere, whatever they want to call it, the way electronic things happen differently. But one of the things that Apostle shared was no matter how you give, you must fill that envelope out. And you still need to put everything on there that you are supposed to put, even the check number. If you're giving a check, you write the check number. And if you don't write it and the pastor gives 30 checks, she has to write 30 check numbers on envelopes. And then other thing, you figure, well, my name is on my check, so she knows it's me. No, because maybe she didn't take the check out the envelope, somebody else did. Okay, because that's the kind of process we're going to have going forward. There's going to have to be a financial team. So all of the nuances that relate to it, everybody has to follow in order for the team to be effective. We have in the past been babies, as they say, sucking on the milk of their mama, because Apostle just did it all. And now in growing, those that she's done it for should be old enough now to help the other ones that are coming in that are young and then give them the right way. Because just because we were being undergirded by Apostle, it doesn't mean we were to remain in ignorance or in a lack of excellence. You know, when someone, you know, covers you, then the next time you make sure they don't have to cover you. And so that's one of the things that we often forget, because we're so used to being one soul at a time, one member at a time. It's a very intimate, involved ministry that we have, and, you know, Apostle knows everybody. She does, and she knows your handwriting, okay? But if she's doing 15 other things and she's in another country, then that's not going to help. And so we have to start thinking global, international. We have to be thinking this ministry, this declaration that the prophet has been doing of how we're going places and growing and million-dollar investments and entrepreneurs. They're not entrepreneurs with scribbling a little number, initial on an envelope. So it's just growing up in Christ, growing up spiritually, and growing up into another realm higher on the mountain of influence. So the higher up you go, the rules change. Some things that are allowed at the bottom, they are not acceptable when you get halfway up there. And anybody else? Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Evangelist.
You brought in the last part of that. You just brought in the seven mountains. You
yes,
just
ma'am.
Brought in the seven mountains when you said that. And so I saw the where I am or where I'm receiving funds for and where I'm working or ministering or all of that is tied into mm-hmm. the mountain that's bringing the offering to the financial place
yep.
or the financial name
Absolutely.
Of God. Wow, that was a lot.
Absolutely. And I do pray, and I know it seems like a lot. Seems like a lot. But everything that you have been taught and has been given, seven mountains, seven churches, seven places Christ shed his blood. All these things are all, it's all a part of God's plan. And so he's going to start knitting it together so that we understand you need to know the mountain. You need to know your anointing. You need to know, you know, where your assignment is. As Pastor Priest Sunday, you need to know your position, your posture, and your place. And these are all things that you're able to glean from the teaching of the seven mountain prophecies, from the teaching of the place that Christ shed his blood, from the teaching of the seven churches in Revelation. You know, from these teachings, we get to understand a clear picture, and we get clarity in our strategy. Or really, not our strategy; it's God's strategy. But as God is God is releasing his mysteries to us. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, Prophet.
Well, amen. Thank you, thank you. This was a phenomenal first training. I have enjoyed the conversation. I have enjoyed you, following the mandate. We said earlier that we wanted you to participate, engage, ask questions, and I know with confidence that we will begin to implement the policies and the procedure. So that is what February will look like. It will look like us having these practical trainings, implementing these new policies, and creating this Labors for Christ culture. We are moving into our land, and we are driving out every giant that have possessed it, and we will no longer sit on the sideline, but we will go in and occupy. And we are you ready for the altitude? Well, I heard Overseer says when you get to a certain altitude, you fly a certain place. It is a whole different altitude. Riding a plane is different than driving a car. So I'm excited about
Amen.
The altitude. I'm excited about the continual revelation. Thank you, of something Evangelist Katie say. I am a tithe and offering out of obedience, but I am going to give out of a relationship. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited that it is a renewal of my covenant relationship with God, my tithe, my offering, my first fruit, my seed sowing, my kingdom mandate offering seed, and my sacrificial offering. So I believe that those things are so very important. So again, real quick, I need someone to tell me about the six kind of offering seeds that you would hear at Labors of Christ. Let me hear someone run through that real quick. We named six things.
Six types of offering.
Hello? Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Is someone going to give them?
Okay, Taz. Is one, offering is the second one, first fruit offering is the third, seed sower is the fourth, kingdom mandate offering is the fifth, sacrificial offering is the sixth, and seven is relational offering. Hold on, sacrificial, kingdom mandate. Did I do one or did I miss one?
No, you missed it. Let me hear it again.
I said tithes,
mm-hmm.
one, offering is two, three was first fruit offering, four
mm-hmm.
was seed sowing, Fifth was kingdom mandate offering. And then I had sacrificial offerings, but I thought they said
that's
seven.
Good.
Is it six or seven?
No, I'm sorry. You said that's right. Sacrificial offerings. Very good. We talked about tithes.
Right.
We talked about tithes, offering, first fruit, seed sowing, kingdom mandate offerings or seed, sacrificial offerings. And then we talked about five scriptures that should be among us as leaders that is appropriate of praying, confessing during offering time. Real quick, let someone give me those five scriptures.
Malachi 3:10, Deuteronomy 1:11, 2 Corinthians 9:8, Luke 6:38, and Philippians 4:15-20.
Very good. Good stuff. Good stuff. All righty. So be prepared Sunday. Somebody may be called on to practically now implement what we have talked about. I got a text from Minister Katie, the Evangelist Katie, that I do want to just share with you, Overseer, that maybe you could discuss with Apostle and see what this looks like. She suggests that could we use our own address envelopes, address label. Some people have their own address label and put them on their envelope, and then you fill in the amount in the name of the seed. So let's take that to Apostle and let's talk about that on next week. So good stuff. This is what we want. This that's definitely good for the tongue writing people like me. So we will bring that before the Apostle and we will address that on next week in our training. So all month we're going to have this kind of conversation. We're going to look at biblical principles. We're going to develop this Labors of Christ culture so that when we are going in to occupy our land, we'll talk about how that's going to help. Continue to talk about how that looks and let the people know that we're coming. And we're coming. I just have to say this. I know this whole name of God thing, I did a study on it just real quick. It's important because when we read the Bible, Israel is not the only nation. We just read about Israel.
Amen.
And Israel was a nameless nation. They had no God. And so it was important for their God, which is our God. He was strategic. That's why he kept giving them his name, calling himself Yahweh, Jehovah, da-da-da-da. And so I just want us to, because, like, I don't want to use the word overwhelming. I just feel like it's much and it's great. But when we understand it and have the knowledge of it, they were a nameless nation. And God was going to make sure that they did not duplicate, imitate no other God. And they were the only God. Their God was the only God who was all-powerful, who can heal. That's why he said, I'll bless your bread and water, take things from among you. And when we look at it from that perspective, he still does that to this day. Amen? We have definitely had a good time. We are 17 minutes in overflow because you have made this great. And we do thank you. We appreciate you. We love you. And we will see you. Remember, Saturday is the strategy meeting. It starts at 10. Not for sure we still have the location as of right now. Do we, Overseer? Do you know?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Bethany.
And so we will be at Bethany starting at 10 o'clock, and then we will see you Sunday at 2:30, 2:15. The fire starters are in the building setting the atmosphere, and be prepared. You may be called on Sunday to bless the offering. This is our month of practical training, so get ready, get ready. God bless you, love you, and look forward to worshiping with
Prophet,
you. Yeah.
Before we hang up, I'd like to challenge everybody on the line, bring somebody else to the phone on Wednesday because the church needs to hear this. So be a testimony and be a witness and grab somebody and have them turn in at 7 o'clock. Amen. That's it.
Amen. Good night.
Amen.
Good night.